Carrie Heaps, publisher of Strictly Marketing magazine and the host of Strictly Marketing Talk Radio, is fond of saying, if it's not broke, don't fix it, and trust your gut. She is passionate about helping business owners with their marketing efforts continue their dream of entrepreneurship. Carrie has been helping business owners for over 10 years and includes a special online community for women as well. She will provide some common mistakes to avoid, prospect follow-up tips, and a lot of advice on chasing the prospect and using social media. Get that and more next on Revenue Chat. Hi, everyone. This is Tony Gerso with Revenue Chat. With us, we have the very successful publisher of Strictly Marketing magazine and the host of Strictly Marketing Talk Radio, Miss Carrie Heaps, who is fond of saying, if it's not broke, don't fix it, and trust your gut. Her big dream to have her own successful business has been accomplished many years ago. Carrie is passionate about helping business owners with their marketing efforts continue their business dream and also maintains a special online community for women entrepreneurs. She has been helping people like you for over 10 years and will provide some common mistakes to avoid, prospect follow-up tips, and a lot of advice on chasing the prospect and using social media. Carrie's website is Strictly.
Well, I'm excited to be here.
Well, great. Now, in my intro, I mentioned just a little bit about you.
Well, I've had my business for 10 years. It was 10 years just this past June. And I actually have a pretty varied background, Tony. I've had a variety of different types of jobs over the years prior to starting my own business. When I was much younger, I was actually in the modeling and acting industry and did some modeling and acting when I was in college. And over the years, just had a lot of different positions. I worked in a legal company. I worked as a legal secretary, legal assistant. I worked as an executive level administrative assistant. I've worked as a recruiter, and all of the positions that I held were very good jobs, but they never seemed to be a good fit for me. And I really believe it's because I just had an entrepreneurial mindset and really needed to have my own business. And when I was a little bit older, in my late 20s, I was teaching part-time, teaching some modeling and acting classes at one of the major modeling schools and agencies in Jacksonville. And there was an opening there for a salesperson to, you know, sell some of the classes and signing people up for photography shoots and things like that. And a friend of mine told me, they said, you know, you would be great at this job. You should, you know, you should apply for it. You would get it. And I thought, oh, I don't think I want to get into sales. I don't think that would be a good fit for me. But I wound up applying and I got the job, and it was a wonderful fit for me. I really enjoyed pretty much having control of my own schedule, and just over time really was able to kind of feed myself because it was a commission-based position, and just had a wonderful time and got into another sales position doing corporate recruiting, filling job orders for high-level IT and accounting positions and clerical positions. And my job was to go out in the field and meet with companies and business owners and attend a lot of different networking events and trade shows to represent the company. So again, I was in control of my time, you know, because I didn't seem to do very well being managed or micromanaged. And at that point, I decided, you know, I really want to start my own business, and I started saving up money. I worked part-time for a full year, and a year later, I put in my two-week notice and left my staffing position. And every time I tell this story, I always like to tell people, that Friday was my last day at work, and I was so excited, and I went home and got through the weekend, and that Monday morning I woke up at my normal time, and there was a very light rain misting outside. It was very overcast, and I looked out the window, and I thought, oh my goodness, what did I just do? But it's, you know, that was 10 years ago, and of course, you know, there's always ups and downs when you have your own business, but I tell people, you know, I wouldn't trade my worst day as an entrepreneur for the best day that I had in corporate. It's just, there's just no comparison to it. So that's kind of how I got started.
Very varied. You've done quite a lot. And I can't help but thinking on that Monday morning, looking out the window, seeing the rain, I would go, yes, I don't have to go out in that.
I know. Well, it is funny because there's always, I think, a little bit of doubt, or, you know, everybody kind of second guesses themselves, but it really, I don't think entrepreneurship is for everyone. And I'm kind of glad the way things happened for me, the way that they did, because I got a really good taste with being in a sales environment, as you well know. You know, when you're a commission-based salesperson, you know, it's up to you to make a sale or you don't eat. So it gives you a pretty good idea of what it's going to be like when you're an entrepreneur, because I don't care what your business is, if it's accounting, direct sales, or if you're a personal trainer, you have to go out there.
And having been in corporate since forever, I know that trepidation of starting off by oneself. It is scary, but if you have the experience and you know what you're doing, you can get that confidence, and then, yes, you wind up never looking back. Well, that's a good intro for my next question here. Let's talk about sales. You make some very interesting points and comments along your career. Can you tell us, Carrie, what are some common mistakes salespeople make when they leave an initial sales meeting?
Absolutely. That's a great question. I find there's a couple of different mistakes that people make, you know, when they're leaving a sales meeting, or even if they go out and they do some networking for themselves. I'm a big believer that, you know, follow-up, you know, the process of follow-up, that begins when you initially meet someone. And you really, you start that follow-up process. And first and foremost, I tell people, and there's some people that like to say this and some people who don't, and everyone's entitled to their opinion, but I do believe sales is a numbers game. Now, one of the shows that I listened to that you did just recently, I think you had a gentleman on there, and he was talking more or less that he doesn't like to take that viewpoint. But it really is a numbers game. I find a lot of people, when they start talking to me about their sales and their sales activities and why they're not closing more business, one of the first questions I always ask them is, how many people are you talking to every day? And some people will come back and say, oh, well, I talked to several people yesterday. Well, put a number to that. How many is several? And usually the numbers are too low. They'll come back and tell me that they made 20 phone calls in one day. Well, that's obviously too low. So the more people that you talk to, you know, you just have to get out there. You got to talk to more people. And I find that's a huge mistake, that a lot of people are not doing that. They're just not talking to enough people. The second thing I would tell you that a big mistake is, I see people, they don't take notes. You take a networking event, for example. If you go to a networking function, you're there to promote your business. And if there's 5 or 10 people there, you know, you have an opportunity to really make connections with, you know, at least 4 or 5 of them. And I always tell people, you want to take notes when you're meeting people. We all have so many things going on in our life, Tony, that it is next to impossible to remember details. It really is. And one of the ways that you can help yourself remember is by taking notes. You know, if you meet a new person at a networking function, or if you do a sales meeting, if you go to someone's office, grab one of their business cards, or, you know, better yet, have a notepad, you know, if you're sitting there in a sales meeting, and take notes. You know, what they're talking about, pay attention, listen, and take notes, take detailed notes of what they're talking about. A great example of this is if you're at a networking function and you meet someone that, you know, could be a great prospect for you, and they're talking to you about, I don't know, maybe their children are in, you know, soccer or they're getting into karate and they're, you know, they're telling you these things. These are really good details that you want to write down. Not that it has anything to do with the product or service that you sell. I mean, it might if you own a karate school, but, you know, this helps with the follow-up process. You know, when you go to check in with them, hey, how's your, you know, your son's karate class going? Did you ever find someone to tutor him or her? So when you take notes like that, it really impresses the other person that you remembered that. I get complimented quite a bit that, you know, people think I have a phenomenal memory, and the truth be told, I have a terrible memory. I'm just really good at taking notes. So you want to make sure that you get into the same habit because that is going to help you develop a relationship with this person down the road. The third thing that I see people do is they're not reaching out appropriately. And what I mean by that is when they start that process of after that initial meeting or meeting someone at a networking function, and we've all gotten these, you probably have as well, where you'll go to an event and, you know, you've met a couple of people, you've handed out your cards or they've gotten your information, and you come back to your office the next day and you have four or five emails that came in and they're not personalized. It's just, hi, Tony, it was great meeting you last night at, and it fills in the blank of the event, date, time, and location, and I would love for us to get together and have coffee and talk and learn more about your business, and you can learn more about mine. And you want to personalize those things. So, you know, definitely if you're going to send a note or even an email or a phone call, make it more personable. Make it, you know, talk about some of the things that you talked about, and how you're going to remember that is by taking notes. So that's why I'm an avid fan of taking notes. You know, you always want to do that because that's going to help you follow up appropriately. The next thing I would say is people don't have any type of system in place, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later, but to have an actual follow-up system, it doesn't have to be fancy. It does not have to be automated. I use a manual system. Actually, we use both. We have a manual and we have an automated system, and we see better results from the manual system than we do from an automated one. So definitely create a system that you can have to follow up with prospects. And the last thing I would say that is also probably one of the most important is that people let their fear take over. So when they leave, like let's say it's an initial sales meeting and, you know, they have not set up the next step because they've done their presentation. The person says, okay, great, I'm going to need to think about it. Thank you for your time. And then they walk out of there. So they're fearful of what the person's probably going to say to them. So make sure that you set up the next step to say, oh, great, you know, I know you need time to think about it. What is your timeline right now? Do you think that you would make a decision in another month or two, or do you think it's going to be a few weeks? And the reason I'm asking is because I would like to follow up with you, but I don't want to do it too soon. So when would be a good time for me to reach out again? So definitely make sure that you set up the next step before you leave that person, before you leave their presence or the networking event or the actual sales meeting. You want to make sure that you set up the next step. And don't let your fear take over. Most people are afraid of, I don't want to bother anybody. I don't want to inconvenience them. And the truth be told, we're all so busy. We have so much going on that most of the time people don't even realize if you do follow up with them three or four times, or they might forget, or they just have other things going on, or it might not be the right time for them to get back to you. So don't let your fear take over. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And a couple comments on why you were saying some of your points. I embarrassingly thought of a couple times I'll come back from a meeting and I'll pull out some cards in my wallet and I'll go, okay, who is who? Which was which? And it happens sometimes. So I try very hard to always make a note on the back of the card. And I hate those cards where they're glossy embossed and written on both sides, because then you can't put a note. But,
well, yeah, and you do get those sometimes. And even myself personally, I have taken like a small little notepad, or even I'll take out one of my own cards and just make some notes on the back. Because you do come across some people in networking events that don't even bring business cards, which I think is a whole nother conversation. But, you know, you just want to make sure that you're taking notes because it's so important. And even though you think that you're going to remember what you talked about with that person, 9 times out of 10, you don't. You get so caught up in other things that you're doing by the time you get back to your office or, you know, sit down to make time to send them an email or follow-up call, you'll forget most of what you've talked about.
It's very true. That's why now I just pull out my cell phone also, and mm-hmm. I'll put in, if there's more information, I'll type that in, or if it's an embossed card or something that I can't write on, I'll just type it right in there and make it a lot easier. And that helps a lot. And the other comment is, I totally agree on the being afraid to follow up, being afraid to go do something. And I love your method of setting that up then, when the follow-up's going to occur, so that you're not going back at the office going, God, should I not? Should I email this mm-hmm. person? Should I call them? When? So getting that set up then while the meeting and getting the agreement on the follow-up is a very good thing to do. And that takes the fear out of the follow-up. So I like that. Now we're going to talk a bit more about this as well throughout this, because I have a number of questions and thought processes on this. But let's take the next one in order here. Let's talk about follow-up. How often should you follow up with a prospect, Carrie?
Well, that's really going to depend. And I also want to just point out here, too, because obviously there's different people listening, and some people might be in business-to-business related industries, and some might be in a business consumer type environment, such as direct sales, or maybe they are a salon owner or makeup artist, wedding planner, and they're marketing to consumers. And just to be very clear too, you know, even with follow-up, you know, business to consumer is a little bit different because you don't want to overdo it simply because of the telemarketing laws, even though it's just more along the lines of follow-up, because you are typically calling someone's home rather than their office or their cell phone. So just be very careful about that if you are in the business to consumer environment, and I'll try to make sure that I make some clarifications on that. First and foremost, again, going back to setting up the next step, when they can expect a call. So let's say, for example, if you are sitting down one-on-one with a prospect, you're at their office, you just did your presentation, they're not ready to buy yet. Let's say it's maybe 6 months down the road that they're going to be, you know, looking and maybe putting some bids out and so forth. Okay, great. So you've asked this person, and my recommendation would be, try to follow up with these people at least once a month and ask them, listen, I'd like to reach out to you next month just to check in, make sure everything is going according to plan, and see if there's anything else that I can get to you. Would that work for you if I followed up, you know, next month? 9 times out of 10, people are going to say yes, or they're going to say no, I'd prefer that you call me in 3 months. So you want to make a note of that, that, you know, that's when they're expecting their next follow-up call. And then do what you are going to say, do what you say you're going to do. If you ask them, can I call you next month? They say yes, great. Then you need to call them next month. That needs to be very detailed. You need to call them and say, hey, you know, we met last month. How's everything going? You know, I just wanted to check in. But do what you say you're going to do. Because when you ask someone, can I call you next month? And they say yes, and then they never hear from you again, and then you wind up calling them again in a year or two. 9 times out of 10, it doesn't set the tone that you're very professional, because, again, you said that you were going to call them. You didn't. And, you know, to me, calling somebody and saying, hey, I got busy, I'm really sorry, you know, we're all busy. We really are. Everybody's got a lot going on personally and professionally, so it's really not a valid excuse. So do what you say you're going to do. So how you do that is you want to keep a detailed log. You can have a really good system. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. It doesn't have to be a huge investment. You can use a manual system, you know, just using some little notebooks and, you know, highlighters for color coding. So keep a detailed log. Those business cards that you get from appointments and from networking events, if you wanted to make up your own automated or manual system, you could buy some little, I call it, they're little fat books that you can get at the dollar store. They're just little notebooks that are, you know, have just the little rings of pages that most kids use for homework assignments, or they used to anyway. You know, you could get some of those and just staple the business card inside each one of the pages and make notes on those pages. with dates and, you know, maybe even the time of when you called and what happened. So that's a manual system that you can create. So you definitely want to have a detailed log because that's going to help you with how often you should follow up. Now, you know, again, if they tell you you're setting up the next step, you should be doing that every time you get this prospect on the phone or if they correspond with you via email. Always set up the next step. You know, if you call into that company a month later and they say, yeah, everything's going according to plan, you know, we're still planning on doing something, you know, and it's going to be 5 months now. Okay, great. Is it all right if I follow up with you next month and just check in? Absolutely. And again, just continue to do that follow-up. This does two things. Number one, it shows your prospect that you are a person of your word. You said you were going to follow up and you did. Secondly, it keeps your name out there. It keeps it fresh. It keeps it fresh in the prospect's mind. So if something happens and that project gets fast-tracked, they're still going to be thinking of you and knowing, hey, this is the person I need to alert that, you know, we're fast-tracking this project. It's not going to be 5 months. It's going to be 5 weeks. I need to bring this person in. I've seen so many clients that I have, and even clients I've worked with, and it happened a couple of weeks ago, too, with a client that I had who is really falling behind on their follow-up process. And what's happening is they're missing out on huge opportunities of, you know, and these are of appointments that they met with these companies, you know, a year ago or 2 years ago, who already went through a transition and changed and went with a different company. And, of course, our, you know, the company didn't know anything about it. So, and it's because there was lack of follow-up. And, you know, just putting them on your email distribution list, that's great. That's touching them once. Tweeting to them or even, you know, sending them an article in the mail, hey, I saw this in a trade journal, I thought you might be interested. Those are all good and nice touches, but always consider your follow-up as actual having actual contact, and whether that's they're responding back to your email or you're talking to them on the telephone. So those are the things that you should consider as follow-up. And, you know, how often when you call in, you know, you can call into a company sometimes once a day to reach your prospect, and you may not get them for 2 weeks. So don't consider, you know, you called in once and didn't reach them. That's really not following up. I mean, you still have to call into the company to get them on the phone, but consider your follow-up as actual contact, verbal or written contact. Does that make sense?
Completely makes sense. And may I add to that? That manual system is excellent, and for some people that are visually oriented, that's a great system to use because it's always right there and you never lose track of who to follow up. But there's also every computer these days has a standard basic calendar program, and it's very easy to just punch in there to schedule yourself when to call back someone so that your even your computer will remind you lest you forget. So that's another good way to do that. And that makes very good sense. Carrie, let's talk about the types of notes a salesperson should include. You've made some comments about this before. Tell us more about that, please.
Well, the types of notes that people should be taking, and two words, detailed and everything. And what do I mean by that? You know, again, if you go in and you're meeting with a prospect and it's the first meeting that you've had, and we work with a lot of companies, Tony, that, you know, their typical sales process and closing could be anywhere from 6 months to 18 months. So it's a pretty lengthy process. So follow-up is make or break in a lot of those deals. And I would say that that still holds true for even a shorter sales cycle or turnaround time to, you know, to close a deal. So making very detailed notes, and if you're in there and it's the first time you've met this person and you're noticing different things, you want to get to know them. If you see that they have golf clubs in their office or, you know, there's pictures, you know, strike up a conversation about, you know, maybe some of those personal details. And you can tell if people are open to talking about their family or their hobbies with you. If they're closed-lipped about it or don't really want to give you any information on that, don't push it. You know, go back into the, you know, why you're there to do your presentation. But always take notes of those different things because, again, if you see somebody, they like to play golf or maybe they, you know, they're a huge sport. I have a, a client who is a huge football fan. And, you know, anytime I can, you know, find something that I think he would be interested in or would like, whether it's a little joke or something, I forward it on to him, you know, just, again, to for little touches through the process. But making notes of that. And then also, too, listening is key, obviously. And, you know, when you're doing your presentation, you really should let them do a lot of the talking. Ask lots of questions and make sure that you're making notes. Because if they're talking about, you know, we have, let's just say it's a 401k plan. Maybe you're a broker and you're trying to get them to hire you to handle their 401k management. And they're talking about how they have a great relationship with their current broker. Well, that's wonderful. You know, what is it about your broker? What, you know, is it because you've known them so long? What are some of the services that they provide that you really like? Because obviously, if they're happy with their broker, you want to jot that down. Make notes of what it is that they like that their broker's doing, because their broker may not be in business next year. They may move out of state. Something might happen where that broker retires, and boom, there's an opportunity right there to go in and talk with them. And you already have a list of things that you already know that that broker's doing that they like. So asking, you know, the right questions, and, you know, also, too, taking those notes and making sure, even if you think it's not really that important at the time, you know, maybe something, it could be something insignificant that, you know, they're just, because you hear this all the time, too, they're just not in the market to buy right now, but they might be in a year. Okay, great, you know, what do you think is going to happen in a year? You know, is there something specific coming up that you can tell us about, or are you going to be merging? You know, try to get as much detail as possible and take those notes. You know, if that person, I mean, I've even met with people before where, you know, they're going to be out for a couple of weeks because they're having surgery. Oh, my goodness, you know, and I always will make a note to send them a get well card, you know, even though they'll get it when they come back from the, you know, from being out sick. That way they know I was thinking about them and I remembered they were having surgery at that time frame. And people remember those little things that you do, and it really can make a huge difference when it comes time for them to, you know, buy your product or service. It can make a huge difference. So I would say make notes on everything. Even after the follow-up process, you know, once you've met with them and you've, you know, you're following up and you tell them you're going to follow up in a month and, you know, it takes quite a while to get them on the phone. I would even say don't leave. I'm not a big fan of leaving messages. You might want to leave one, but then after that, just continue to call. And if you don't get them, you get a voicemail. Always take detailed notes. Have the date. And if it was the voicemail, I always write VM for voicemail or LVM, meaning left voicemail, NA for no answer or they weren't available, B for busy, or, you know, if they're out of town, if they're on vacation. You know, always make sure that you're making those notes. And one thing that that will do is that builds up, you can kind of see how things will happen, because typically it takes anywhere from 6 to 16 calls to get your prospect back on the phone. And most people will not call their prospect back 16 times, but you need to, because that's part of following up, because you've got to get them on the phone, and the only way you're going to get them on the phone is by continuing to call.
Wow, that is so in-depth, so detailed, so spot-on, beautiful. That is almost like poetry. It's art. That is artistic, Carrie, because that it really has down the pure essence of relationship and building that relationship by taking all those notes and knowing your client. Yeah, who's your client going to buy from? Someone that's just brand new he hasn't met, or someone like you that knows all this information, all these details about his life, his business, and so forth. It makes the sale a no-brainer. That is very mm-hmm. cool. I like that. All right, well, let's get into more on this follow-up. Some people are timid, and they may or may not be the right type for a salesman. There is a right amount of follow-up. Carrie, what do you say? How much is too much in follow-up, please?
I would go back to what I said before. You know, there's going to be a difference for business to consumer and business to business. You know, business to business, I would say call, you know, once or twice a day, you know, trying to get them on the phone. If you don't reach them, don't leave messages both times. And again, I discourage people from leaving messages. And because it's just really, you're just following up. So, are you going to leave a message to follow up and then turn around and call back again? So I would just say, call in. If you don't get them, you get their voicemail, just hang up. You don't need to leave a message. So I would say once a day for business to business. If it's business to consumer, I would say try a few times a week. Maybe space it out. Do Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, or Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. You definitely don't want to go overboard on business to consumer. And again, this is where keeping notes comes into play because, you know, as you're, you know, calling into a prospect, if it's a business, you can write down, you know, VM, voicemail. And then by the time you get them on the phone, if you go back and calculate, this is where you really see the numbers come into play because you see a pattern. You know, it took you X amount of phone calls, you know, 10 or 15 phone calls just to get the prospect on the phone. And you can make notes of, you know, when you talk to them. And again, setting up that next step to whether that's going to be another follow-up call or maybe another meeting or perhaps they request information. So you always want to make sure that you're hanging before you hang up, you know, talking with them, that you have set up the next step. But I would definitely say don't do, you know, 4 or 5 times a day would be a huge no-no, even if you're not leaving a message. Because if they, you know, sometimes companies, you know, if you're meeting with a prospect that has an assistant, and I've been in this position before where, you know, all of these calls keep rolling back and you know, it's just really clogging up the line, and you don't want to do that either. You don't want to become a burden. So I would say, you know, keeping it at once a day. But if it's someone who's really hard to get a hold of, try once in the morning and then once again in the afternoon, you know, until you do get them on the phone. Because, you know, the higher up, and I've just found this with experience, the higher you go on the chain, C-level, CEO, CFO, CMO, vice president, president of the company, the more you're going to have to call in. You know, those numbers can double and triple, because it's just a lot more difficult to get them on the phone. And I would say with that, too, for those people who are trying to get those types of prospects on the phone, I will tell you, between 7:45 and 8 o'clock in the morning is a good time to reach those because they get in the office early. Between 12 and noon, when their assistant is out, because usually they have to, they'll answer their own phone because they're usually there in the office eating lunch sometimes. And then just after 5 o'clock, like between 5 and 5:15, you will find the higher-level people are still in the office. So it's usually easier to sometimes get them on the phone and get them to have a conversation with you as well.
Wow, excellent points. Spot on, very correct, and very much I agree with all those. Those are very good. That says it all, Carrie, for that. Let's talk now about social media in follow-up. How do you see that work, the role of social media in follow-up, please?
Well, social media, it plays a role in follow-up, but it plays a very small role. You know, make no mistake about it, follow-up really is having contact, another contact, verbal or written, with your prospect, okay? You calling in and leaving a voicemail or just calling in and you get their voicemail, that's part of the process too, you know, because you've got to get them on the phone. But it's not, make no mistake about it, it's not actual follow-up. You know, social media is a great tool for keeping connected with them. You know, again, if you follow them on social media, if you see that they're a very heavy active player on Twitter and they're constantly tweeting, you know, definitely follow them. You know, if you see certain things, you might want to tag them in a post on Facebook or on Twitter. So you can definitely, it adds to it. It's no different than like what I was talking about before. You know, if you're in that prospect, you're meeting with that prospect and they, you know that they're having surgery, this is just like sending them a get well card, okay, in the mail. So when they come back, they know, oh, wow, I got a get well card. And, you know, that's really nice that that person thought of me. And it's the same thing. If you see a posting or an article that people are tweeting about that's about, you know, if their kids are in karate, hey, I thought you might be interested in this, and tag them on it. And that's definitely good. It's touching. It's touching your prospect, but it's not, it shouldn't be confused with its follow-up. I see a lot of salespeople that I work with, Tony, that again, you know, when they're coming to me and they're really having trouble with, you know, they need to close more business is the bottom line. And, you know, when I start to dig into what they're really doing, and they will talk about, well, I'm connected with them on social media. They're on the email distribution list. You know, I send them emails once a month just checking in, but I never hear back. Well, that's really not follow-up. Follow-up is, you know, again, it's getting verbal or written conversation and contact between you and that prospect, and you tweeting to them, you know, and if they tweet back, that's great, you know, saying thank you, that's good. But, you know, it's good to use in the process, but I wouldn't substitute it for a phone call or for an email where they're going to be corresponding back and forth with you. Because, again, you want them to restart that conversation with you. And the only way you're going to do that is by picking up the phone, visiting with them again in person, or by sending them an email and having them get back to you. But it can play an important part as far as, you know, the process, you know, in the touching process, because it keeps your name in front of them. But it's certainly not going to be anything where it's going to, you know, get a sale. We just went through that with one of our clients who, you know, again, is very big on, we have an email distribution list, you know, we will send them things, but they're not doing actual pick up the phone and calling, and they actually lost a couple of really big accounts because of that. So nothing can take the place of that.
Totally agreed, and excellent. Nothing takes the place of that. One-on-one communication and actually talking to the person. Totally agree. It's the most effective I've ever found as well. Social media, we've mentioned the follow-up, we've mentioned the phone calls, we've mentioned the different types of way of the calendar system and how to is what you find is the most effective is to have the printed papers with the business card stapled to it. Is that what you think is the most effective, or do you have another system that's very good for follow-up?
There's a couple of systems that I recommend to people, and make no mistake about it, when you know, even with these ideas that I'm sharing, people need to do what they feel the most comfortable with. If you're not comfortable with an online system like Salesforce or Zoho, or, you know, I mean, there's Infusionsoft. I mean, there's tons of different systems out there that you can invest your time and money in. But if you're not comfortable with that, or it's not something that you can do right now, you can use a manual system, you know, just with the notebooks. You need to do what you feel comfortable with, because this is a process that you are going to be using on an ongoing basis. So the only person that it really should matter to is you, you know, once you make that decision. Now, do I think there's one better than the other? For me personally, we've found we have two. I have a manual system that I use that's just a, you know, notebooks and writing down with pen and paper, and then and color coding with highlighters. And then I have another system that we use that is, you know, automated. It's online, an Excel type program, and we see better results with the manual system. Now, I don't know if that's just because that's just me personally, that's what I like, but I mean, either one can work. It's just you need to figure out what works better for you. Now, a couple of ideas that I like to share with people, we'll go to the automated ones first, like, you know, Salesforce, Zoho, you know, even Excel, you know, you could use Excel. Just start a spreadsheet with all of your contacts, all of the prospects, and you could do separate spreadsheets. And I recommend that people do this anyway. Have a separate one for networking contacts, you know, the people that you've met at networking events. You could have one for, you know, people that you have met for a one-on-one meeting at Starbucks or at your office or their office. So you can have separate databases and, you know, put in all the standard information, their name, their phone number, their email, and then always have a huge section for notes. And you can just type in unlimited notes of, you know, what happened when you met them, when is the next time you need to follow up with them. So, you know, you could do something very simple in Excel. And I'm very big on color coding. So, you know, you can fill in with color, you know, in Excel. And what I like to use for color coding is we usually use, if I talk to a prospect and they tell me, look, you know, we've talked about, you know, we've done an initial meeting and it's just not going to be a good fit for them. And they tell me, you know, this just really is not something that we would do. We appreciate your time, but it's just not something we're going to do now or even in the future. So I mark that lead not interested, and I'll highlight that Excel row in red, and I leave it there. And I always go back to those leads. Now, if somebody I've met with, it turns into a sale, I highlight that cell in green. because that means I made a sale, so there's no reason for me to go back into that database to pursue any more follow-up, you know, to close the sale. I mean, they basically go into a customer database at that point. So I'll use green for making a sale. Yellow, I highlight them yellow if they ask me to email them information. That way I know anytime I see a yellow field that, hey, I need to go back, make sure that they received the information. Do they have any questions? And then I use orange for, you know, somebody that has asked for a callback. You know, I can't talk right now, but can you call me on Friday? You know, I have some questions for you. Now, those are the color coding systems that I use. Someone else might want to use something a little bit different. If you wanted to do a manual system, you can go to the dollar store, pay, you know, a dollar for a little, they're called little fat books, and they're small little notebooks. You can staple the business card on one page and just start making notes underneath that. You know, 1-6-2015, met Casey at the chamber event, coffee on the coast event. We talked about, and then just start taking, you know, writing out those detailed notes, you know, whatever you have on the back of their card. And, you know, you can just use that to put all of your contacts in there, just staple their business card or write their information in there. And you can use the same color coding system. You know, if they asked you to email them information, you can just take a yellow highlighter and just put a little check mark down at the end. That way, when you're flipping through that notebook, and you can tell just by the different colors, okay, I've really got to contact these ones that are highlighted orange because they wanted me to call them back, or the ones that are in yellow, make sure that they receive their information, and then continue to call through. And I would encourage anyone, still continue to take notes. You know, when you call into that company and you get their voicemail, just write or type in VM for voicemail. Have some type of system that you feel comfortable with, that you feel comfortable using, because again, you're the one that has to use it, so it has to be something that works for you. But color coding and just using those little notebooks will help you a lot. And then, of course, yes, if you have somebody that says, hey, I want you to call me next Friday, you still want to have that in your notebook, but put it on your calendar too. You know, if you use Outlook and, you know, set yourself a reminder. That way, if you're somewhere else, you know, that can pop up on your phone. So it can be used in conjunction with your calendar. This is more or less just to house your prospect contacts. But like I said, I've been doing that for years. I still do it manually. And we do have some that we use that are online and in Excel, and that's another great way to do it. And I just want to touch back on the color coding. The leads that we have that tell us that they're not interested, the reason that I mark those in red, Tony, is because what I do is I take those. And I usually, if they're in my notebook, I will just tear out the page and I put them in a folder. And every 6 months, I pull out the folder and all of these leads that told me that they weren't interested, I go through. And what I do is I call back into the company. And, you know, I'll call into the company, and if it was Jim Smith that I spoke with, and Jim was not interested, he didn't feel like it would be a good fit, and I'll call, and the receptionist will pick up, or I'll go through the automated system to see, is Jim still there? Because anymore, people just don't stay in the positions that they have. They either get promoted, or they get fired, or they leave, they find another job. And 9 times out of 10, if you do that every 6 months to a year, you're going to find a pattern where most people, that person you spoke with, Jim Smith, is no longer with the company. So you can find out who took their place, and you have a fresh, brand new prospect to deal with because you've already met with Jim, but Jim's no longer with the company. Perhaps this new person, you'll be able to, you know, build a new relationship with them, but it's also a great way, too, to recycle your prospects, to not completely give up on them just because they said they weren't interested. But I like to do that every 6 months to a year. Because, you know, like I said, most people, you know, they just don't stay. You know, and I see it a lot because we work a lot with business to business. And, you know, they, you know, will say, hey, I'm not interested. And you call back in 6 months later, they're not there anymore. And someone else has taken their place. And we've been able to get some sales that way, you know, just by recycling some of those prospect leads. So, you know, even the ones that you mark not interested, no matter what color you're using or how you're doing that, put them in a separate database, look at them in 6 months to a year, and call back in. Just see if that person's there. And if they are still there, you know, just when they're transferring you, just simply hang up the phone. That's all you have to do. And just put them back in the folder and, you know, call back in the following year and just see if they're still there. So I find any system that you create will be effective as long as you work it and work it appropriately, and you don't just kind of do it every once in a while, that you're consistently following up.
Wow, very in-depth, very detailed. I do a lot of that. I don't do all of that exactly that way, but it's very interesting to see, and it is very effective. Very cool system, Carrie. And I can see why you're so successful, because you're so well organized and methodical on it. Very cool. Good.
Thank you.
Now, even with all that, we find, as we know in sales, we just keep chasing this prospect forever and it just never seems to pan out. So how long do you think should we be chasing for a prospect?
Well, that's a great question, and I will tell you, I have a story to share about one of my current clients. You know, my feedback to most people when they ask me how long should I do this, you know, I always tell people you need to chase them till you get them. You need to chase them until you get an answer, really. You know, once you get an answer from them of what's going on, if they're not interested, okay, fine. You can mark them not interested. And like I said, put them in a separate location and call back in 6 months to a year. If they tell you, you know, hey, it's going to be 6 months, you know, set up that expectation that you're going to follow up. Don't wait 6 months to call them, because a lot can happen in 6 months. That project could get fast-tracked. So you definitely want to say, hey, can I call you next month just to check in, see how things are going? If they tell you no, I'd rather you call me in 2 months, then make notes and make sure that you're following up with them in 2 months. You know, do what you say you're going to do. Typically, you know, most people will stop calling into a prospect after, it's usually like the eighth or ninth time they stop calling. They just assume that person's not interested. And you can't make assumptions. Don't ever, and again, that plays back into the fear of what, you know, I don't want to be bothering this prospect, that everybody thinks that, oh, they're thinking, oh, that's so-and-so calling. I'm definitely not going to answer the phone. Trust me, people have way too much going on to even really do anything like that. So don't let your fear take over. You know, you just need to continue to call and, you know, until you get them on the phone, get an answer from them. And then you know what your next step is going to be, whether that's going to be to follow up in a month or a week, or, you know, they're not interested, so you need to put them in a different database. That's, you just don't know the story till you get them on the phone. And I find that usually once you finally get the prospect back on the phone, they, you know, they'll tell you, oh gosh, you know, I did get your voicemail, or I did see your email. I'm really sorry. I've had this going on. It has nothing to do with me, you know, or with you. It has everything to do with what's going on in their business and their life. So you should never take it personal. I like to share with everybody when you talk about chasing a prospect, you need to determine how worthy is that business to you? Because if you are, you know, if you're self-employed, you are responsible for feeding yourself. You are going to have to wear the sales hat quite a bit in the beginning. And, you know, and I would even say, even for myself, 10 years in, I still wear it quite frequently for myself. I have to, you know, because we're a small business. But I like sales too. So you really need to sit down and think, well, how bad do I really want this? Is this client really worth it? And those are things that you kind of have to measure, you know, yourself. I mean, everybody's different. Everybody has a different product or service. One of my current clients, Tony, I chased, and when we say the term chase, I don't like to, I would say this, be pleasantly persistent when you're chasing. Pleasantly persistent is how you're going to chase. One of my current clients, it took me 2 years of follow-up. 2 years. Now,
wow.
I will tell you right now, most people would never follow up that long. But I knew, you know, it was a client that I really wanted to work with. And what I did is when we initially talked, they were an introduction from another company. And this person, it was just kind of like, hey, we're not ready to start yet. It's just, you know, we're trying to, you know, do this, do that. This project needs to happen. Okay, great. You know, is it okay if I follow up with you? And I would do it with him. I did every 3 months. But yet I would still send him emails. We were connected on social media. And I would just, you know, pop up, hey, happy new year, you know, happy whatever holiday it might be. You know, just how was your, you know, your Christmas? How was your vacation? You know, just talking about personal stuff. And I would follow up with an actual phone call every 3 months, and I would get him on the phone. And hey, how are things going? Last time we talked, you said that, you needed to get this particular project done. How's that going? And I would have a conversation with him. And, and he would tell me, we're still not ready. It could be another 6 months. And I just kept, same process. Is it okay? That's fine. Is it okay if I follow up with you in 3 months, just to check in? Of course, Carrie, we'd love to hear from you. And that went on for 2 years. And then finally, I called him one day and he said, guess what? We're ready to get started. And he said, and I want you to know something. The reason I am going with you is because you have kept in contact with me for the past 2 years. You have done everything that you said you were going to do. And, he's my biggest client right now and has been for quite some time. And I've had him for a very long time, and I get lots of referral business from him too. So, you have to sit here and kind of figure out for yourself if it's, again, judging on your business, because everyone's business is different. And if it's going to be a really good client, and you have to look at, too, can this person refer business to me? Because even if they're not a large client, you're going to be making a lot of commission off of it, you need to look at the fact that, hey, they might be in an industry where they can refer a lot of business to me. So continuing to follow up, and logistically, people think, doing all of this, it's going to take up so much time. This will actually increase your productivity by doing any of these things that I have offered you. It will increase your productivity because you're writing it down, and it's also going to, help you in that follow-up process. So you have to figure out, is this really worth it to me? And the answer should be yes. If it's not, you might want to rethink about what you're doing. Maybe it's not the best, choice, because with sales, follow-up is make or break. A lot of your sales are going to happen with follow-up.
Wow, Carrie, great response, great answer. I love it. I love the fact that you got a great client after 2 years. That's just, it's all about just really trying to help the customer and persistence, building a relationship. Great. That is really good. I love it. Now I'd like to go into some inspirational quotes. Carrie, I pulled 5 inspirational quotes from famous people about success and so forth. And I'd like to read these out and have your comments about them, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go. First is Oprah Winfrey. She said, passion is energy. Feel the power that comes from focusing on what excites you.
That is a great quote, and passion, I'm in total agreement with that. Passion is energy. The only thing I would say about that last part is feel the power that comes from focusing on what excites you is I would say let that power fuel you, because, when you're passionate about something, it's going to show. It shows in your voice. It shows in your demeanor. It's going to show in your work, and, people can see it, even if they're not physically in front of you. So I would say let it fuel you.
Love it. Very cool. All right. Next is Ann Sweeney, president of Walt Disney. She said, define success on your own terms, achieve it by your own rules, and build a life you're proud to live.
And that's an excellent quote, and I wouldn't change anything about that. And it's true. You need to, it's just like with the follow-up system. There's a couple of different ways people can do it. You got to do what feels comfortable to you, because what works for me may not work for you.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Very cool. Next, Sarah Blakely, the founder of Spanx and the world's youngest female billionaire. She said, don't be intimidated by what you don't know. That can be your greatest strength and ensure that you do things differently from everyone else.
And I love that quote too. And I am in total agreement with that one as well. And I would just say to that too, that is true. When you're learning about certain things, sometimes you can come up with a better way or a way that's going to be, provide a lot of growth for you and for your company. So, and you want to stand out from the crowd. You don't want to be cookie cutter. You don't want to do everything like everybody else is doing.
Exactly. Hear, hear. Next is J.K. Rowling. She said, it is our choices that show what we truly are, far more than our abilities.
And that is true. And that's, one of the things that I like to tell people is trust your gut. And I will tell you, in the 10 years I've had my business, the times I did not trust my gut, my gut was telling me one thing and I did the exact opposite and I paid for it dearly. And, again, that was no one's fault but my own. It was my choice. But, you got to trust your gut.
And you have a very good sense by the way, Carrie. You have a very good. I think that of the people I've met, women seem to have that sense a little bit better, and I don't know why, perhaps, but that's another subject, another topic. Totally. You get this feeling, this sixth sense. I mean, my wife is like that. When she gets this feeling on something, it's like, okay, it's strong in her. Follow it because it's true.
Right.
All right. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, no, I was just going to say, you know, especially when you have your own business, you know, the choices you make, you have to live with those and you know, making bad choices. And we've all done it. We've all had, you know, times when we've made bad choices. And again, it's, you know, some of the ones that when you could go back in time and change them, I've always said those are the ones my gut was telling me, don't do this, and I went against my gut. So good advice.
Good, very cool. And the last quote, I would say probably one of my most favorite actresses, Audrey Hepburn. She said, "I believe in being strong when everything seems to be going wrong. I believe that tomorrow is another day, and I believe in miracles."
And I love that quote. And when I was reading that the other day, I thought that is a wonderful quote. And it's something that I like to tell people too, because, you know, when you're an entrepreneur and even in sales, you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And a lot of people, that's where fear can factor into, Tony, because they think, oh, I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, you know, and they're just worried about their sales process. One of my first mentors and a very good friend of mine, Marcia Dahl, one of the things that she taught me is she said, you need to take your greatest fear and turn it into your greatest thrill. So what I have learned over the years is that, you know, you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And instead of saying that as a fear statement, like, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, you know, when you have your own business, everything's up to you. So I turned my whole thinking around with that. And I said, tomorrow's a brand new day. Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? I could open up my email box and have a brand new client, or, you know, this could happen or that could happen. And just by changing that mindset really helped a lot. So it's all in how you look at things.
Very cool. Very, very right on and awesome. Thank you very much. That was fun. I appreciated your input on those. That was very, very good.
Oh, wonderful. My pleasure.
Cool. Now we're close to. If you could offer one piece of advice regarding follow-up and sales, what would it be and why?
That's pretty tough. One piece of advice. I guess I would go back to what I was just talking about. Don't give in to the fear. You know, you just keep calling. You know, you have no idea what's going on in that prospect's life, and don't assume that because they're not calling you back or not responding, that relates to you. It could be something totally, and 9 times out of 10 it is, it's something totally unrelated to you. So don't give in to the fear.
I like that. I wanted to comment, your talk about fear throughout this interview is really too bad we, you know, don't have the time. I'd love to chat more about that, conquering the fear, because that's the only thing really that stops someone from doing something or not, is that fear. And there's ways to turn it around. You've discussed it, and you've approached it, you recognize it, you talk about it, you've isolated it. Good on you, and that shows why you're so successful.
Yeah, and that could be an entirely different show, Tony, one on fear.
Yes, 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 yes. And we're close on time. I wanted to talk about women in marketing, and we've just kind of used things up. Maybe I'll bring you back on for another. Would like to chat more about women in marketing. I was hoping we would get into it, but kind of running out here. But
I'd be honored to come back on the show. It would be a true honor and definitely a great topic to talk about.
Well, good. In closing, is there anything else you'd like to let our audience know about, please?
If they would like to, you know, get some more information about, you know, our magazine, they can visit the site, strictlymarketingmagazine.com. We do have a free download on one of our sites for Strictly Women in Marketing. And I can give you that link I don't know if you're able to put it in the show notes. It's kind of long. That way they can go to the site, get the free download, and it's called the Top 5 Tips to Gain More Media Coverage for Your Business. And it's an audio download and just offers a lot of great information on being able to get interviewed and media opportunities for your business.
Okay, well, I tell you, we are going to do another show on women in marketing. I think we'll devote a whole segment to that. Absolutely, and I'll send you an invite. And on your site, strictlymarketingmagazine.com, is there a link at all where people can get to the women in marketing page that you were just referring to?
I don't know. The URL is strictlywomeninmarketing.wildapricot.org. I know it's very long, but it's a membership site.
Oh, there
site,
you go.
So it's so they can go directly there and get the download. And it's just the free tips for media coverage, and they put in their email address and click submit, and they'll get a link. And there's five different tracks, and they can listen to those anytime they'd like, and just a really good download. It gives it a good overview of what's required and what's needed to get more media coverage.
Well, good. And when we do the second show, we'll put that link in there, and I'll send it out to our followers as well. And if you could text that to me or email it or something, I'll put it in the notes of this show as well. That would be great, please.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you again, Carrie. It's been lovely. It's been fun. It's been exhilarating. And I don't know how many years I've been in sales. I've written a couple books, but I got to tell you, one never knows it all. There's always something to learn. Some of the things you've talked about have turned on little light bulbs for me. And I go, oh, I do that. Oh, I don't do that. Or I have to do more of this. It's always helpful. It's just amazing. What I'm trying to say is, no matter how many years one's been in sales, there's still more to learn. It's an art. There's a way to perfect it better. I love it.
It is, and I'm a big believer in, you always want to better yourself. I have three books that I'm reading right now, and, you just need to continue to always, enhance your skills. Anybody, not just me or you, but anyone listening, you always want to continue improving on your skill set and learning as much as you can. It's very important.
Excellent. Well, thank you again very much, Carrie. It's been wonderful and a pleasure. I look forward to having you back on. As soon as possible, we'll go over that separately. It was great.
Thank you, Tony.
Sure. And again, everyone, Carrie's website is strictlymarketingmagazine.com. And in the notes, I'll put that other one on there, on the Women in Marketing. All right. Well, thank you again, everyone. And stay tuned to our next show on Revenue Chat. We're going to have Dr. Ruchna Chain. She has built three multi-six-figure internet businesses of her own. Has helped hundreds of clients build theirs. Her tagline is, quote, because you deserve to be liked and rich, end quote. And it shows, if you are a smart, ambitious business owner or want a profitable business with less work, then she can help. Get your marketing and business advice and help from Dr. Jane on the next episode of Revenue Chat. This is Tony D'Urso, brought to you by Easy Sales Procedures. Get the book, Easy Sales Procedures for You and All Your Business Contacts, at TonyDURSO.com. All right. Thanks again. And until next time, remember, you can make life better for yourself and everyone. Choose wisely. Hi, this is Tony D'Urso, author of the new book, Easy Sales Procedures. You know, in my career, I've made impressive record-breaking sales forays into real estate, collectibles, insurance technology, and other varied industries. My accomplishments include raising $3.25 million in a six-month period. Now, despite what we've been told, sales is an art. There are sales procedures that can be applied precisely as a science, but in essence, it's truly an art. There are fundamentals that you need in place that will help you with your sales, marketing, and business. Get Easy Sales Procedures to help put your business into proper perspective. You know, too many people seem to make sales complicated. Hey, it's easy. All you need are some basics.
in three words: open, agree, and get. That's it. That's EasySalesProcedures.com. This book will endow you with the simple truths at the core of being a sales master, and also contains salesman training drills that, when practiced, demonstrate how to interest any person in anything. These simple procedures can be applied by anyone from any walk of life, because in modern day society, every person is involved in interesting or selling someone something. That's Easy Sales Procedures. Get your copies now at a low price from EasySalesProcedures.com. Order enough for all your employees too. Here's to volume sales success for your life and business.